Well, brethren, going back about 30 years ago in our previous association, we used to call it our previous association. I think now it's the statute of limitations is up, and we can actually say in the Worldwide Church of God, which I grew up in starting over 50 years ago, in the last few years before the separation in 95, there was a saying or an accusation by some people in the Worldwide Church of God, and it was called prediction addiction. We were accused of being a church that was constantly focused maybe too much on prophecy, and that we saw every little world disturbance or world event and tried to fit it in and view those events and line it up with prophecy. Now, make no mistake, God has unequivocally made predictions about future events for mankind, and specifically the descendants of Jacob, which the United States is a part of, those descendants. But we're also told in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3 that in the end time, there's going to be scoffers and mockers who say, oh, you're saying these things are happening because of prophecy. This is the way things have always been. These things have been going on for hundreds, maybe even thousands of years, since the beginning of creation, since our fathers fell asleep. And no doubt, certainly, there's ebbs and flows of prophecy in the ocean of world events, but it seems to me, I don't know about you, but the older I get, it seems that each of those ebbs and each of those flows get a little more worse. Things just kind of are reaching a point where we're reaching critical mass in many ways about many things and many events in the world. It's kind of like the guy that lives on an island in the ocean, and he says, oh, well, a Cat 5 hurricane can never happen here. Those things just never do happen. That's just urban legend or whatever. But then when the Category 5 hits and his house is swept away and he along with it, then maybe he becomes a believer. Luke chapter 21 and verse 36, we're instructed to watch and pray always that we may be worthy to escape all these things that are surely going to come to pass. If you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. When I was growing up in the previous association, better known as the Worldwide Church of God, we oftentimes read this chapter, but I think in recent years, again, because of maybe knee-jerk reaction of being accused of having prediction addiction, we've gotten away from reading these things. Just a little background into Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28 was actually a sermon before the Israelites went into the promised land given by Moses. And it was a warning. It's a contrast of what would happen to the children of Israel if they obeyed God and if they did not obey God. It's commonly known as the blessings and the cursings chapter. The purpose of the sermonette is to examine just one of those blessings and curses in Deuteronomy 28 that we are seeing play out in the United States right now, and we have even seen it firsthand this past week. If you pay attention to the news, you may have heard this past week that the United States reached its debt limit. In other words, the credit card is maxed out. And if the debt limit is not raised, then those of you that are on Social Security, those of you that rely on Medicare, those of you that are on military pensions, the military people themselves, the soldiers, the military industrial complex, those people are not going to get paid. I saw a figure this past week that the U.S. government or the United States is $31 trillion in debt, $31 trillion, which is actually a lie because that doesn't account for what they call unfunded liabilities. Now, Daniel back there, he's about 18 months old. He's going to, if this world and this society continues for another 60 years, which I'm going to be astounded if it does, but if it does, he's considered an unfunded liability because he's going to eventually be on Social Security, if Social Security is still around. So that really, that number, even though they say it's $31 trillion, it's really $130 trillion or more. Yesterday I was watching the news. It said that for every person, this is not every person that works, this is every person that's retired. Again, little Daniel, year and a half old, he's not working, but he's a person, a citizen of this United States. Every person in this country would have to pay $95,000 in order to pay off the $31 trillion, not the $130 trillion of unfunded liabilities. For every taxpayer, I'm a taxpayer, Linda's a taxpayer, you know, several of you that work in here are still paying taxes. On top, I don't think it's on top, but I think instead of the 95, the taxpayers actually owe $245,000 each. $245,000. To give you a sense of how much $1 trillion is, if you were able to take $1 bills and stack them side by side, it would be almost 70 miles of $1 bills. So basically from here to Rochester on Interstate 90 would be dollar bills stacked side by side. $31 trillion, that's from here to Las Vegas of $1 bills stacked side by side, which is almost comical that you're comparing the amount of debt that the United States is in with Las Vegas, the city of Las Vegas, where it's known for gambling. There's a show that my father and I like to watch when I get home from work. We DVR it on our DirecTV. It's on Fox Business, and it's known as the Kudlow Show, and it's hosted by the name of a guy named Larry Kudlow. Just to give you some background about Larry Kudlow, he was a graduate from the University of Rochester in Rochester, New York, with a bachelor's degree in 1969, which dealt heavily with themes of economics and especially trade policy. Kudlow began his career as an economist with the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, taking the position as an economist in a job where he worked on the division of the Fed that handled open market operations, basically money supply and trading. During the first term of Reagan, Ronald Reagan's administration, in 1981 through 1985, Larry Kudlow was the Associate Director for Economics and Planning in the Office of Management and Budget and part of the Executive Office of the President. In April 2005, New York Governor George Pataki asked him to be included as one of the six members of the New York State Tax Commission. Now, I give you Larry Kudlow's resume just because he's considered a very, very smart guy in the world of economics and business and trade. However, a week ago yesterday, so yesterday was January the 20th, so on January the 13th, as we were leading up to this past Thursday where the debt limit was reached, during the opening of his show, Larry Kudlow made me cringe and made the hair on my neck stand up a little bit. He made the statement at the beginning of his monologue, and I'm going to quote him because I had to watch this. We had it taped, so I watched it several times and wrote down exactly what he said. He said, "One reason that the U.S. government is never going to run out of money is because the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank controls the world's money printing press." He said, "You can think of it like your own personal computer. You hit the print button and the money just starts flowing out. Well, until you run out of ink," he said. He further went on to say, "The U.S. is never going to default on its debt, and the U.S. is always going to be the world's reserve currency." Now, when I hear people that are quote-unquote experts on TV saying and using the words always and never about something, especially that's very contrary to what God says, that makes me cringe. I mean, it's very confidence-inspiring when people get up and say always and never in direct contradiction to what God says plainly in the Bible. It almost reminded me of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3 when it says, peace and safety, then comes utter destruction. Brethren, if you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1, it says, now it shall come to pass, this is Moses talking to the children of Israel before they went into the promised land, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. Now I want to take just a short detour here. I said we're going to focus on one verse, which we are, but I also want to, just as a side note, look at verse 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the countryside. Dropping down to verse 7. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Now here's the main point. We were talking about U.S. debt. Verse 12. The Lord will open to you good treasure, the heavens, and give you the rain to your land in its season, and bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed, in other words, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments and statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Back to the little detour we started earlier. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the countryside. For those of you that watch the news, I don't know if you've seen the reports coming out of all the major cities in America, the crime wave, the shootings. If you go to New York City, if you ride the subway, you're afraid to stand next to the subway platform too close to the tracks because somebody might push you off onto the train track. Over most weekends in Chicago, it's a good weekend if less than 30 people are shot. Homelessness is rampant in places like Los Angeles. It's almost considered a biohazard because there's just waste running in the open sewers. Verse 25, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Have you heard of the Korean War? Not that that was a major military failure, but it was a stalemate. But I'm sure most of you have seen pictures. I remember as a small boy, 5 years old, seeing in March of 1973 the chaos and the fleeing seven ways from the nation of Vietnam when the Vietnam War, at least our involvement in the Vietnam War, came to an end. Most recently, 2 years ago, the absolute chaos and fleeing that occurred in the nation of Afghanistan as the U.S. military pulled out of that country after literally 20 years of occupation. And now around the world, our traditional allies say that they cannot rely on the U.S. military anymore for security and protection. We've become troublesome to many of the kingdoms of the earth. Back to our main point. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. Most recently, in the 20th century, in 1985, the United States became a debtor nation, meaning that it started borrowing more money than it collected taxes for to pay for its debts and obligations. In our most modern history of this nation, now we have become the tail, and the nations that lend to us have become the head. The two nations in the world that own approximately a third of U.S. debt are Japan and China. And we know from prophecy that eventually there's going to be a 100 million man army that comes out of the East, from Asia, from China, from those Asiatic countries. And militaries are not cheap. They cost a lot of money. And where will they get that money? We know from Bible prophecy that eventually the United States will be gutted financially. Brethren, we are on a credit card of debt here in this country. Have you ever had a credit card and you ran it up and you couldn't pay it? And you were just making the minimum payments? You were like a dog chasing your tail. And that's what has happened now in the United States. How did we get here, brethren? We just read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13. If we and our ancestors would only listen to God, God would have made us the head and not the tail. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45, if our ancestors and we have not listened to God, so now we are experiencing the curses that God has set out for us. The good news, Micah chapter 2 and verse 12. If you'll turn to Micah chapter 2 and verse 12. After the great tribulation, after the return of Jesus Christ, God says, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of the pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord as their head. Not no longer the lender, but the Lord as their head. Brethren, based on Bible prophecy, we know there's a time before the return of Christ known as Jacob's trouble. We don't have a lot of the exact details and events surrounding that, but we do know, we have a basic outline, and we know that Larry Kudlow was wrong. I apologize, Mr. Kudlow. You're a nice man. You seem to be very nice, but that's not what God says is going to happen. Brethren, as we see a myriad of prophecies come to pass, and those curses continue to occur upon us from Deuteronomy 28, let us continue to watch and to pray that we will be worthy to escape all these things which must surely come to pass.